In 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 21, we'll use this verse to get started here tonight. I want to title the message Superheroes, and I realize that I'm probably not speaking to anyone here in this assembly that has any affiliation with them, but I wanted to preach on this so that we could use this information, the article and the CD, to be able to help others. You must ask the question this evening, who are these masked heroes with capes and tights? And so we want to begin here using a verse that we're to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think you would find Jesus Christ having anything to do with superheroes. He says in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps." And I hope you never get tired of this verse. I've read it at least 15 or 20 times last year. I hope to read it several times this year. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin to start the message tonight. Father, we thank You this evening for the privilege that You've given us again to assemble together. We ask Your blessings upon the reading of Thy precious Word. Speak to our hearts here tonight. Lord, help us, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I have never spent time reading the comic books or watching these pathetic characters. And besides, I have enough trouble with the flesh without incorporating these into my life. As a kid, I do remember seeing a few Batman movies, and I did not even like them when I were young and when I was lost. I kind of felt like they were just a little stupid, you know, even then. And so I've had to do research, because I never read the magazines, and I've seen very few movies, you know, as a child, and I'm nearly 60 years of age. And so I had to go back and do a lot of research over the last year in order to put this together. Now, I'm going to read a few other verses in our text here in just a moment and reread this verse. But as we come here this evening, we know that they've been around for over 80 years. And I wrote down some names. These are only just a very few names that I want to mention to you, just so we'll know what we're talking about this evening when we say superheroes. You go back all the way back to 1938 in our country, and you have Superman and Batman and Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk. I did see a few of those films years ago. The Marvel comic team, Captain Planet, the Fantastic Four, Iron Man, Iceman, Action Man, the Bionic Man, Captain America, Flash Gordon, Superboy, had to have a Superboy, X-Man, Wolverine, Thor, and then you might could add in here Super Duck and Super Chicken. I don't know whether you've heard of those or not. But in here's some of the female characters. I just threw that in there. Here's some of the female characters. And you have Wonder Woman, Invisible Woman, I think this is Spider-Woman, Storm, Elektra, Marvel Girl, Catwoman, She-Ra, Shadow Cat, Hawk Girl, Supergirl, Batwoman, Batgirl. And these are just a few. And then there's the Islamic superheroes. I believe there's 99 of them. Those are fairly new. And then there's the Christian superheroes, which are really, really ridiculous. The Bible Man. I did some reading on this. This is just pathetic. And then there's the singing group Hillsong has a song titled "Jesus is My Hero." In other words, my superhero. And then last of all, there is gay superheroes as well in our world. We must have them. Now, why would I want to preach on this subject here to a congregation that I'm confident you don't read the magazines and you don't watch the movies, you don't have these in your homes and so forth? Why would I want to preach this? For a few reasons. One, is that many Christians and even preachers are caught up in this fantasy world that we're going to be talking about tonight. And it is a fantasy world. And it keeps people from God. It keeps people's hearts and affections as drugs and alcohol and music and entertainment. I just believe it robs something away from every individual that is caught up in this. Now, again, why preach this? There's many Christians that are caught up in the superheroes. As we preached 2 weeks ago this night on video games, there's many, many Christians that are following these things. I'm going to give you an example. I hold up a magazine here in front of me. This is an independent Baptist Christian publication advertising a youth conference with several preachers. I know some of them. With mask on, Batman mask, and different things like that right there. And I hold that up before you. And this is fundamental, independent Baptist preachers, and this magazine is advertising a youth conference in a particular church. My wife and I know of a church that we were affiliated many, many years ago and do not have fellowship with them now because of doctrinal differences, but we actually seen a picture of one of their Halloween parties here not long ago, last year, and they were all dressed up in Darth Vader costumes and many other, ridiculous costumes. There's a Bible college that claims to be fundamental in California. Their fall event last year, the students dressed in costumes of characters from Star Wars, sci-fi, fantasy, superheroes, etc. Now, there's many other things that they dressed up as. Around Halloween time, supposedly Christians and the world come and dress in the costumes of many of the superheroes. People all around the world, and in the United States especially, are dressing up now, pretending to be superheroes, trying to help people and do good things. There's a man in the Philippines who had surgery and so that he could look more like Superman. I'm telling you, there's a problem here when we consider this. There's one preacher that a brother was telling me here recently on a motorcycle with Superman suit rode down the sanctuary. Brother, you heard about that too. And then got off the motorcycle and preached. And we know of someone personally before they were converted. Used to dress up in one of these costumes and roam around the neighborhood. So, as we come here to our passage tonight, yes, this is a problem even in the Christian community. Notice as we read, let me read our text again, and I'll just read this verse and we'll move on. You can read the connecting verses where it speaks of our Lord and Savior and what He accomplished for us and those kind of things. But notice in verse 21 again, and then we're going to move on. He says here, we're going to back up into this chapter and read a few other verses from verse 9. But verse 21, he said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Now notice this, He is our example, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. So we want to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me as we come to verse 9 through about verse 11 or 12, He describes you and I as believers. And I'm going to read these verses. And by the way, I'm going to give you three ways to identify a superhero. And this way, maybe we as a church can avoid them and stay away from them. One, you can identify a superhero by their ridiculous costumes, okay? And they're usually wearing tights, masks, and capes, and they look like twinks. And so that's one way that we can usually identify them. One, number two, and you need to really record these and make sure, at least in your mind, number two is that by wearing underwear on the outside of their clothing, many of the superheroes wears their underwear on the outside of their clothing. So there's a second way that we can identify them. And number three, by their immodest attire. And I'm not going to ask you to do this, but every superhero, female superhero, is basically pornography. And I don't know where you've ever read the magazines or remember them as a child or when you were growing up, but basically it's nudity with all of the female superheroes. And I'll say something about that in a few moments. And then with the men in their tights and things of that nature, showing off every part of their body. And I'll not go any farther with that. So there's three ways that you can identify them. Now, when we come to this subject, we know that in our country, when we talk about superheroes, there's comic books, there's costumes, there's coloring books, there's clothes, there's movies, there's games, there's toys, and it's endless as to where you can find these things. And every department store just about, you'll find something about superheroes. They are America's icons. There is a fascination with fantasy today that is just unbelievable, even in the so-called Christian community. There's an obsession with this. People fantasize about these amazing powers that these superheroes supposedly have. Now, let me give you a few thoughts here on the money and that's made from them. Of course, millions of dollars is made from the movies, from the comics, from the clothes, from the toys, millions if not billions of dollars. And Spider-Man movie that came out in 2002 brought in a record $403 million, of which $100 million was in the first weekend alone. And then one collection of vintage comic books sold at an auction for over $1 million. Action figures go for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Many spend thousands to build their collection. Now, I want you to listen to this. Somebody told me about this yesterday, someone who has been heavily involved in the video games and somewhat with the superheroes, told me this yesterday, and I checked it out this morning to confirm it, and it is true. Action, and I'm quoting now, this is from an article, Action Comic Magazine number 1, Superman debut, sells for $2.16 million. This is just recently. And the issue was published in 1938, and the original issue only cost 10 cents. So the original issue was 10 cents, and it was either early this year or last year, this magazine of Superman sold for over $2 million, if you can believe that. Now, notice as we read here in this passage, he said in verse 9, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises of Him," not praises of superheroes, "praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness." Notice that. Keep that word darkness in mind as we move on through this message. "He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evil." I'm going to stop reading there. You'll notice we've been called out of this world. We're strangers and pilgrims, and we are to abstain from fleshy lust. And the reason is that it wars against our soul. And he says we're to have our conversation honest among the Gentiles. And you'll notice that we've been redeemed out of darkness into this marvelous light. And I'll say something about that in just a moment. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Notice with me in chapter 1, reading from verse 13. Superheroes are another avenue to steal our hearts and minds from the Lord. And it's a tool of Satan. It's one other tool that he has in his box that he can pull out and use to get a hold of hearts and minds. Now, you notice with me that as I come here to chapter 1. I'm just going to read a few verses. I'm just trying to lay a foundation. And the first thing that we're going to look at this evening is the history of superheroes. They have been around over 80 years in America. And he says here in verse 13, he said, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now look at this. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." Verse 15, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Turn with me to 2 Peter and notice with me in chapter 1. God has called you and I, obedient children. There in the passage, He's also called us to be holy. Now, you'll notice with me that as we come here to 2 Peter in chapter 1. Now, let's begin. I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. First of all, the history of superheroes. The history of superheroes. Secondly, we're going to talk about the dangers of superheroes. And number 3, the gospel of superheroes. Now, we're going to be reading in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to take one verse from this chapter. Now, all of us know what superheroes are. We don't really have to give a meaning. A superhero is a trademark co-owned by DC and Marvel Comics. And they're usually identified as characters with superpowers or abilities, usually dedicated to protecting the public by fighting evil forces. Now, that'd be a general definition of them. And again, there's male and female. Superheroes confront supervillains in the magazines, in the movies, and so forth. And superheroes, we're going to talk about this in a moment, they have extraordinary powers and strength and skills. Some of them can fly, some of them can have enhanced senses, some of them can leap buildings and many other things that they can do. All of them have some type of ability beyond the average human being. Now again, the origin or the history in America, they've been around since the 1930s. The debut of Superman was in 1938. Wonder Woman in an All-Star comic, number 8, January 1942. Spider-Man made his debut in 1960s in comic books. The Incredible Hulk was created in 1962. And Batman first appeared in comic books late 1930s. And as we come here and consider this, the emphasis in the magazines, the emphasis in the movies and whatever is globalism. I want you to think with this as we go through this. I'm going to talk about darkness a little bit. I'm going to talk about globalism and so forth. Now, in my opinion, it's like the video games, and my opinions, I believe, are based upon Scripture. But in my opinion, the superhero concept from the 30s has always been wrong, unscriptural, unchristian. They've always been, in my opinion, antichrist. But the thing about it is, as you've come, it's like the video games, it's like the music, it's like the movies. They are very wicked and dark in our modern day. They have progressed from what supposedly was innocent, which I don't believe they were innocent, but they have progressed, and where they're at right now, they're very dark and evil, and I'll mention some of that in just a moment. But I'm saying to you that there's this global concept, that is, these superheroes have come on the scene, and there's hundreds of them, I only mentioned a few, but they've come on the scene to save the planet, to save the planet, replacing our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to burn this planet and with them on it if they don't get saved. Amen. So the design is to take your mind off of the Lord, take your mind off of the Bible, take your mind off of the church, take your mind off of your family, take your mind off of your community, take your mind off of your walk. Remember I preached this morning, stayed upon Jehovah. We're to have our minds stayed upon Jehovah, And all these things are to take our minds away so that our walk is not straight and circumspectly, as the Bible says. And I'm simply saying that God has called us to kingdom work and not fighting aliens. And that's what this is all about. The church is not a theocracy. We are a kingdom of priests and kings, and we have a mandate by God to see to it that the Great Commission is carried out and people are discipled in our society. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to speak to you just for a few moments on as we're looking at the history about fables. You heard me say this before in some other sermons. You'll notice 2 Peter chapter 1, reading in verse 16. He says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." So he says, we've not followed cunningly devised fables. Turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and notice here. I'm going to be reading two verses from this chapter. And I think it was in religious movies I preached a few years ago that we talked about fables. But notice in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to be reading in verse 4 and 5, "And all of these superheroes are fictional characters." Can I get an amen? We're not talking about real life. We're talking about make-believe. And the Bible speaks against that. He said in verse 4, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." I'm going to stop reading there. We're not to give heed to fables, that is, fictional stories and endless genealogies. All they do is bring up endless questions and instead of edifying an individual in the faith. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and notice here, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. "Now, a fable is a fictional story. Every superhero that I know of is a fictional story. Fables are based on unfounded facts and myths and fantasies and falsehood and silly legends." And again, when we preached the message on religious movies, we dealt with some of this. Fables are speculations, they're lies, they're fictions. I could go on with a list of synonyms. It's sort of like Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. They fit into the same category, and they want to tell us that these are for children. Amen. That's what they want to tell us. Now, notice as we read in verse 1, Paul writing to a preacher, and he said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come," we're there, "for the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Now notice the next verse. He said, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." A fable is the opposite of "thus saith the Lord." It is the total opposite of that. So fables turn people from the faith and distort the truth. Turn to Titus chapter 1 and notice here. In Titus chapter 1. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:7, "We exercise ourselves unto godliness, which is the total opposite of fables." In Titus 1 and verse 14, we're going to be reading here. Titus 2:10 says, "Adorn the doctrine of God." We are to wrap ourselves up in it, clothe ourselves in it, not in fables and fiction. Fables feed upon the lust of carnal men. It keeps us from meditating upon reality. Fiction confuses reality. And that's just the bottom line, and we have a lot of fiction in the world today. And Paul tells Timothy and Titus, he said, preach, 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 preach the word, preach the word, preach the word, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. He said, just keep preaching and preaching and preaching the word, because there was problem with fables in the first century as there is today. Now, you'll notice in Titus, I'm going to be reading in chapter 1 in verse 14, and he says this. He says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. What's the next few words? That turn from the truth. Fables turn people's hearts and minds, whether it be Jewish or Gentile fables, they turn hearts and minds from the Lord. See, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and I've had more experience. I believe I've seen this years ago. But as I go along, and I'm nearly 40 years old in the faith, I'm nearly 30 years in the ministry, but I am seeing clearly that this is a tool of Satan, and that these superheroes, as video games, as music, as many other things, as television and movies, I'm seeing where they're robbing and stealing the hearts and minds of those that are even in the church. Many times, we have their bodies still in our homes, and we have the bodies of these young people, even some adults, still in the church, but the minds and hearts have already left. They've been gone for a long time. Now, turn with me to Deuteronomy 18. Now, the second thing is the dangers, and I put that plural, the dangers of superheroes. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. I'm sorry, not 28, but 18. Now, those who are not walking with the Lord, I believe, are attracted to superheroes. There are many dangers when we come to the subject of superheroes, just like with video games we preached 2 weeks ago. Now, the first thing I want to give you this evening under this as a subtitle is that superheroes operate in the occult. Can I get an amen? Now, I want you to think, before I read, I want you to think about what I'm saying when I make this statement. I believe that they're satanic because of this. Any powers, superpowers, that are not of the Lord and the Holy Ghost, where do they come from? There's only one place they can come from, and that's from Satan. Listen, the powers that be, you know, in Ephesians 6, where he talks about principalities and powers in high places, the powers that be, the powers that you and I know anything about, it either comes from God and His Holy Spirit, or either they come from the devil and his demonic army. There's only two places. Okay? We as human beings, we don't have the power that these superheroes claim to have. We don't have them. You and I know that. We're ordinary people. Now, we do have the Holy Ghost abiding within, so we have the power of God within us. So, I'm just simply saying that this power, this supernatural power, can only come from one of two places. It's either from God, or it's out of hell. And we know that it's not from God that they operate in. There is a darkness that dominates the superheroes, and that especially the progression that's taken place for over 80 years. There's a darkness. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 and 5, that we are the children of light. We are not of the darkness. They are of the darkness. The Bible said in Colossians 1, I believe it's verse 13 and 14, that we have been taken out of darkness and we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Let me just read off, and this is a very, very, very short list. As I've researched this, I've done this like the video games. I researched it about a year ago. I was going to preach on it last year. How many times have y'all heard me say, I'm going to preach on something that's a year later? Well, I'm still doing research, or I feel like other things are more important. And so I researched this early last year, then went back to it again in the summer and spent just a little bit of time 1 week on it. And then I said, no, I'm going to do it now. So as I do this research. Now, here is a very short list of some of the powers and things that these people have. And I'll make mention of a few more in just a moment. Most of them have superhuman strength, intelligence, ability to manipulate cosmic energy, bend light. Now, I'm going back and forth between different ones of the superheroes. They can project force fields, become invisible, retractable bone claws, shoot laser beams from their eyes, control magnetic field, freeze things automatically, form into any object one chooses, control the weather, create sonic waves with their voice, shatter solid objects with their voice. Some of them can fly, put people into a trance or unconsciousness, deflect bullets with their wrist as Wonder Woman with her bracelets, and she has an invisible jet controlled by mental command, ability to fly people, or to force people rather, to tell the truth, super hearing, x-ray vision, heat vision, and that would just be a small amount of things that many of these superheroes can do. We're talking about they're operating in the occult. They fight evil with occult powers. Now notice as we read here from this passage, and again, keep Ephesians 6, 11 through 15 or 16, principalities of power, spiritual wickedness, high places. And he said, put on the whole armor of God in that passage. So keep those things in mind. And by the way, as we read this passage, I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to begin reading in verse 9, but if you were to drop down and read from verse 15 down through verse 22, you're going to find a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming, the prophet, called the prophet. He said, I'm going to raise up a prophet from the midst of thee. And he said, you're going to hear his words, and if you don't hearken to his words, I'm going to require this of you. So what we're going to be reading in Deuteronomy 18 is the words and the power of the occult in contrast with the words and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice as we read from verse 9. He says in verse 9, he said, and when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Jeremiah 10, 2 talks about learn not the ways of the heathen. There shall not be found, verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things an abomination of the Lord, and because of these abominations of the Lord thy God doeth drive them out from before thee, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times, unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. We're talking about operating in the occult. And in the Bible, we wrote an article 10 years on the occult, and in the Bible, there is witchcraft, there's witches, there's wizards, there's charmers, there's divinations. I'm not going to give the verses, but there's familiar spirits, enchantment, necromancies we just read, sorcery, soothsaying, magicians, and then there's many verses that tell us, as in Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, these are a work of the flesh, and they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21:8 says the same thing, and Revelation 9:21. So we're talking about superheroes are working in the powers of the occult. Now, notice with me, as we turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter 4. The second subtitle under the dangers would be superheroes are idol worship. They are human saviors. They are godlike figures with godlike powers. And these mystical, godlike men and women who cannot die are idolized by fans. It is worship of man. There is no other way to do this. And say this, it is the worship of man. Superman alone, the secular Savior figure, manifests the qualities the world worships. I mean, he has power and strength and immortality and invincibility that the world worships. This is what people want. And so we're saying, number two, under the dangers, is that superheroes are idol worship. No way to get around that. Alright, number three, under the dangers of superheroes, they're very bad role models. Very bad role models. All the way from the beginning to the modern time in which we live. Let me give you two quotes before I read in this passage. And one study says, according to psychologists, the Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man promote violence and show vengeful tendencies in a positive light, especially modern heroes. They are showing vengeful tendencies in a positive light. I mean, the superheroes can destroy half the planet and it all looks good and great. Another quote in a study that was done said, today's superhero is too much like an action hero who participates in nonstop violence. He's aggressive, sarcastic, and rarely speaks to the virtue of doing good for humanity. When not in superhero costume, these men exploit women. They convey their manhood with high-powered guns. Helping boys resist these behaviors early on seems to be a critical step toward improving their health and their quality, and the quality of their social relationships. See, there have been studies that's been done on the superheroes. And as I told you, the video games, the women are exploited and everything else many times in some of these areas. Maybe not every one of them, but I'm going to guarantee you, you cannot. For instance, if you had a television in your home and you went home tonight and you tried to turn it on after service and try to find something to watch, you can't find anything. Well, I'm just going to tell you this. When you start looking at the superheroes and the video games and you start saying, well, let me see if I can find something good, I'm just going to tell you tonight, you can't find anything good. Now notice, as we come here to Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to read one verse, and I'm saying that superheroes are bad models. The old ones are bad, but the modern ones are even worse. With nonstop violence, aggression, sarcasm, promoting a macho stereotype for young people. And by the way, there ain't a one of us in this assembly tonight, even if you think you are, you're not. There's not a one of us that has the body that many of these superheroes have, whether it be male or female. They're not normal human beings. Amen? They don't fit, the normal human being. They're lifted up in pride. All you got to do, I showed Brother Justin a picture of Superman, just the way he's standing, and Batman and some of the others, very prideful. There's nothing humble. There's nothing Christ-like. It's all about the flesh and about strength and about power and about showing off your physical physique. Now notice as we come and read in this passage, Proverbs 4, verse 23, he says this, he said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Notice, for out of it are the issues of life. We are to keep, we are to guard our hearts with all diligence. We're to guard it. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners in 1 Corinthians 15:33. I know that's focused upon doctrine, but still yet it apply here tonight because we are talking about the doctrine of superheroes. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 7. Now the next thing under this, under the dangers, what would this be, number 4? Is the issue of nudity. Nudity. Now, we're talking about pornography. many of the men are in their tights and so forth, but the women, I don't know of any superhero woman that is not 75 to 90% naked, with many skirts, bikinis, etc., that they're wearing. Now, and it's been years since I've even seen most of them, but even in my research, I can't even go and be looking at the drawings because it's pornography according to Bible standards. Now, the world standard says something else. But in the Bible, in Isaiah 47, verses 1 through 3, to expose the thigh, now I'm not through yet, what else is there? To expose the thigh and what? Help me out. The leg is nakedness. Now that's Bible standards. To expose the thigh and the leg, to uncover the thigh, to expose the legs, according to that passage, and I believe other passages, is nakedness. There's a lot of naked people in the world today. Have you ever seen a modest female superhero with a dress down to her ankles and a head covering? You probably will never see one because it wouldn't sell in the world or in the church. It just wouldn't sell. And it's hard. It's hard to fly and to leap buildings and to kick people in the face with a long, modest dress on. That shows you that women shouldn't be doing things like that to begin with. See? And we're talking about modesty now. And I'm saying to you that every superhero woman that they're dressed like a harlot. And I don't suggest anybody go looking for them. When I was doing research, I had to stay away from the pictures as I read some articles and gathered and gleaned some facts and so forth, because basically it's pornography, it's nudity. But the world doesn't seem to think that, and most Christians, if they are Christians, doesn't seem to think so either. There's no wonder that people are dressing immodest today. Now notice, I come to here because in Proverbs 7, you'll notice with me in verse 10, and again, you come back and read the surrounding verses here and get the context of this, and it'll be a blessing to you to just know this, but we find here that in verse 10, and this is the only verse I'm going to read. You can read verse 6 through 13 to get the context of a harlot woman. But it says here in this passage, verse 10, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." So there is an attire of a harlot. She dressed as a harlot to gain attention by this young man she wanted to deceive. Here's a quote by another author, and he said, "Wonder Woman is among the most well-known female superheroes of all time. For years, girls often played with action figures as much as regular baby dolls." I never really thought about that. Well, of course, they play with the Barbie dolls and, you know, and those kind of things, which are wicked and bad. But I never really thought about them playing as much with these until I read this article. And number five, under the dangers, and then we're going to go to our third point and be through. Number five is the violence. Write down Romans 12, verses 14, and then verses 17 through 21. There is revenge, there's payback, there's get even, there's fighting, killing, destruction, etc. in the majority of these superhero magazines and movies. All right. Now turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 1. In the book of Galatians in chapter 1, while you turn in there, I'm going to have to give you a number 6, defiling the mind. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Filling our minds with unrealistic garbage. Kids know all about these superheroes today and know nothing about the Lord and His disciples and missionaries and the apostles And, you know, the Old Testament saints know nothing about them. One writer said this. He said, one denominator that the greatest number of superheroes and heroes of myths share is physical strength. Several superheroes resemble certain mythological heroes in terms of superhuman abilities. A lot of these are based on mythology of years gone by, and they bring these into our society and create these heroes. Now, the third and last thing I want to give you tonight is the gospel of superheroes. Notice in Galatians chapter 1, they adhere, I'm telling you tonight, they adhere to a false gospel. And if you don't believe me, just ask the question, whether it be the magazines, the movies, the games, whatever it is, ask this question to anybody that would challenge us on this. Where is the God of the Bible in the superheroes, movies, and magazines? Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ? And when is the last time you've seen someone get saved in one of these magazines or in one of these movies? They are antichrist. They do not pray, at least to the God of the Bible. They do not seek God. They do not read the Bible and trying to find out solutions to global problems. They do not go to church. They are not faithful. I mean, all you gotta do is ask these questions. I'm saying that their universe is not Christian. They have non-Christian gods, non-Christian origin, and have not the power of the Holy Ghost of God. So these are just simple things. It's not complicated. The gospel of superheroes, it's a pagan gospel. It is not the gospel of the Bible. So then why would I want to fool it? Let me give you an example. I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll give you 6 examples, and there's literally hundreds that I found. Here's 6 examples of their beliefs. Captain Marvel. Okay, as a young boy, here's his beginning. He meets the wizard Shazam as a kid, and he was given power, the powers of Greek gods and heroes. Again, you're going back to mythology. And he's given these powers, and all he would have to do is, as a kid now, say, Shazam, and he breaks out into Captain Marvel. See, he's using witchcraft. Storm, this is a woman, female. I've got to throw at least one of those in here. Storm, she is a descendant of an ancient line of African priestess who is worshipped as a goddess, and she has power over weather. Superman came from another planet. Do you realize or not he's an alien? He's an alien. He came from another planet. He looks like a human being, but his genetic structure is different. He is an alien living on Earth. He's a mutant. He is a secular savior from the heavens. It's a replacement for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Batman. Hear people talk about Batmobile, Batcycle, Batcopter, and Batboat, and all that garbage. Batman. Now listen to this now. He didn't have some of the powers of these others, but here's what he had. He was the height of human perfection. He spent life avenging the death of his parents. He obtained great physical and intellectual strength. I don't think he could fly or shoot lasers out of his eyes or anything like that, but he was the height of human perfection. This is the way they characterize him, those that love him and follow this garbage. And he obtained great physical and intellectual strength. This is what humans want. Spider-Man. Again, his human DNA is mutated and has special powers. He has spider sense, alerting him to danger and perfect balance and superhuman speed. Wonder Woman. Got 2 women here out of this 6. She is an Amazon based upon a race of women in Greek mythology. The Amazons had superhuman qualities. She has super speed, stamina, strength. skilled in combat and tactics, can communicate with animals, indestructible bracelets to deflect bullets, and an invisible jet controlled by mental command. You know what? Let me tell you something. Now, this is an assault to my intelligence. It really is. It ought to be an insult to every Christian to even think that somebody would want you to read or look at something like this that is so ridiculous and so antichrist and so stupid and makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, this is an insult. Notice in Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading from verse 6 to about verse 13. He says here in verse 6, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another. There be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I was going to read on. I'm going to stop there for time. But notice, because I got two other passages I'm going to read and we're going to close. But notice here, in this, he's just simply saying, if any man preach any other gospel twice, he said, let them be accursed. Superheroes are another gospel. They're a false gospel, a false hope. In Revelation chapter 5, notice there, in Revelation 5, I want you to see the Bible says, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. There is one mediator. There is one name whereby men can be saved. There is only one way whereby men can enter into God's kingdom. There is only one God. There's one kingdom. There's one truth. There's one book. There's only one power, and that's the power of God through the Holy Spirit. There is no more, and what is outside of that realm is Satan and his forces. Now, in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, without reading the entire chapter, you're going to, if you started in verse 1, you'll find that there's a book that's sealed with seven seals. And no one, there's no man, no one, no, there's no superhero that can open it. No one can open this book. And by the way, this book has to be opened. The seals has to be broken to redeem back mankind. And finally, he says that there's no one. He's weeping in verse 4. There's no one. And then we find that in verse 5 and 6 that there is one, that is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, stood up and took the book and is able to open the book and break the seals because He is the Son of God. He redeemed back mankind. And then it talks about a redemption and a new song in verse 9. We've redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We sing a new song. And then notice with me in verse 12, and it hears all the angelic beings and praising and singing. And he says 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. Here's what they're saying in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. He goes on to list several other things. In other words, worthy is the Lamb, not worthy is the superheroes. Only Jesus is able to open the book and redeem back this world. No one else, no fictional character, no fable, no myth. You'll notice with me as we turn to one last passage, and that'll be John chapter 8. You know where I'm going to read to close. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 through 4 speaks of another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Gospel. Hebrews 12 says we're to look unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 11 speaks of the heroes of faith. And you know, listen to me now. Listen, you know, we love to read about the heroes of faith, right, in the Bible? But you know what every one of them did? Every one of them, they looked unto Jehovah. They looked unto God. Their mind was stayed upon God. That's how Moses or any of them accomplished anything, because their mind was stayed upon Jehovah. They followed God. They didn't follow some myth or some fable back there. Now, as we come to John chapter 8, we're going to bring this to a close. And I want you to see, as we've said many times, we have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the superheroes, They are basically unbiblical. They're unchristian. They're satanic. They're revengeful. They're immodest. They're violent. They're the occult. They're very dark. Many of them are mutants. They're evil. And there's much sexual content in the magazines and in the movies. That's enough for you and I to stay away from. And let's not just say they're not good for the children. Let's say that they're not good for the children and the adults. Okay, let's say that. And we don't need superheroes. We have God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And again, they are an insult to our intelligence as Christian people. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that says otherwise, they're very negative. You see, we're positive and we're for the Bible. I'm for truth. I'm for righteousness. I'm for holiness. I'm for purity. And anybody that says anything otherwise, they're just being negative. You know, a lot of negative people in the world. Am I telling you? These people that are against the Word of God and against the precious things we talk about, that they're negative people. They want to make you sound like you're negative. They're all just negative. I don't want to be around negative people, do you? They're all negative. They're against our Savior. They're against our Lord. They're against our Christ. They're against God's Word. And they're negative. We are on the positive side. Now notice as we close in verse 31 of this chapter. Well, verse 30. He says this. He says, "And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I challenge you to read on and see what He told these people. He said in verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil." And He said in verse 47, "He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God." I'm saying to you, there's freedom in Jesus Christ. Look at all the things. I think when we did our solemn assembly, I think at least two of you, I think you were talking about the freedom that we have in Christ. We're freed from the wicked music. We're freed from Hollywood. We're freed, you know, now we say we're freed from video games, freed from superheroes. We have a lot of freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ that many in the world are in bondage to these things. So I leave with you tonight, superheroes are of the devil. They're fables. They're fiction. They're wicked. And they're dark. And we need to keep our minds stayed upon Jehovah. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the privilege that You've given us to assemble together again. And we just ask, Lord, Your blessings upon the singing now. We pray, God, that Your will to be done in each of our lives. We pray that You'll use these words, Lord, for a testimony to those who need to hear and pull away from these ungodly things. For it's in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.